Turn over to Ephesians chapter number 6 once again. It's our jumping verse here. Again, talking about being able to stand, being able to withstand. By the way, you got to be able to withstand against these type of announcements when you get these things. Amen. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 6 and read these verses. By the way, when you hear these things, let's stand too when you get to your place, Ephesians chapter 6. When you hear those things, that is the time that we've got to really increase our prayers for our Tucson city. Because if one does it, guess what that's going to do? The domino effect. Somebody else is going to do it, an elected official. Because right now, somebody's got to break the ice. Somebody's got to be bold enough, if you would, to go out there and do it. And now that he's done it, there are going to be some others, I can tell you. Coming up, Ephesians chapter number 6, and we're going to read verses 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14, and then I'll read 15 as well. And let's start in verse number 10. Here we go. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, in verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Father, help us over the next few moments to get some more sharpening tools to be able to have our feet to adequately shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Work in us and through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. All right, you may be seated. Again, our goal as we stand is to make sure that we're standing and we're ready and prepared to present the gospel. What is the absolute hardest type of person to present the gospel to? What would you say is the absolute hardest type? Yes, ma'am? Someone thinks they've got all the answers. Okay, what's another hard type of person? Jeremiah? Someone that greatly dislikes you, amen. That'd probably be hard even trying to get him to listen to you, amen. What's another extremely hard person? Yes. Someone doesn't think they're a sinner, amen. I've had my share of those as well, amen. Anybody else? What's a hard type of person to witness to? Ms. White? Amen. Amen. I've been there. And that is. And that is a tough situation when a person has been hurt and you know they're not saved. Amen. You going to say something, Aaron? A lot of tragedies, amen. They don't think God doesn't care, amen. Katie? Yeah, a prophet without honor in his own country, as Jesus said, amen. They knew you. And that Joseph's son, that carpenter, we know your dad. We know your mom, amen. Those are difficult people. I normally get these soul-winning articles every week, and I want to share one with you today. He is convinced that probably the hardest type of person to witness to is the religious person. The religious person, the person that already thinks that they are saved. And you start talking to them, and you know how it is, Pastor White and Sergeant, you start talking, and you know they're not saved. And they want to tell you this, and you, I mean, you can, like they got a sign on their head, I am not saved. You know, you're looking at them, you're just kind of smiling because you know they're not saved. And they're trying to convince you that they are. You're like, you can't even spell saved, David. I know you're not saved. And so he gives some encouragement in here. And he said, winning the religious person. He says this. He said, he normally asks people, if you should die right now, do you know for sure that you will go to heaven? The prospect gives a positive response, but the soul winner knows the person is confused and lost. What does he do? And he said, basically what he does is he asks them, can I just share with you how I know I'm saved? Notice this. He says here. He says, after I gave her, he was talking to this person. He said, after I gave her my testimony, I asked a second question. If you should die right now, are you absolutely sure you will go to heaven? And then she dropped her head slightly and responded in a soft voice, I guess I would. I have done what Jesus wants me to do to be a Christian. He says, instead of probing deeper into her background and trying to straighten her out on some theological points, I smiled and asked, would it be all right if I took a minute or two to show you a couple of verses, notice this, that helped me to know for sure that I was going to heaven? Again, she nodded that it would be okay. He said, I then proceeded to lead her down the Romans road, doing my best to help her understand that not only was she a sinner, but the wages of sin was something she could have removed by Christ dying on the cross and not by her personal efforts. He said, I then helped her to see that Jesus totally paid the price. And without his doing so, there would be no way of salvation. He said, first, when you feel that someone is lost, even though that the one gives a positive response that they are saved to the salvation question, try not to engage in verbal conflict. Instead, he said, it's very helpful to smile while looking into their eyes and ask them the same question I asked this young lady. He said, notice that I did not ask her if I could show her how she could know for sure she was going to heaven, but I asked her if it would be all right if I would show her some verses that helped me to know for sure that I was going to heaven. It says this takes the pressure off the prospect and gives you the wonderful opportunity to share the gospel just as if he or she asks you how to become a Christian. By the way, I tried that same approach with the Dutch guys that came here. They came here and they said, Frans Moyman said that you allowed him to see the light. What did you show him? And I said, well, let me tell you what happened to me. And I gave my testimony. And then I said, now, when I met Franz, I said, let me tell you what happened to Franz. And I gave him Franz's testimony. I said, now, all of you have heard my testimony. You heard Franz's testimony. I said, you need to have a testimony. I said, what's your testimony? You know, and I didn't press them for a decision. I said, but you heard how I saw the light? You heard how Franz saw the light? I said, and I gave you the light, Jesus Christ. I said, now, the Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment. I said, are you sure your plane's going to make it all the way back to Holland? They just kind of looked. I said, I'm just saying, I crashed into a house, and it made me think about my eternity. I said, you got a plane to catch. It should make you think about your eternity. And guess what? Now, I don't know if they got saved, but I loaded them up with enough tracks to keep them reading for a long time. Amen. And so he says, secondly, he said, from that point on, as you share the gospel, make sure that the person clearly understands that you saw from the Bible that there was nothing you could do to save yourself and that Jesus had totally paid the price on the cross for your sin. So in other words, what you're doing is giving them a testimony just like the Apostle Paul did. This is what happened to me. He says, make sure that the gospel presentation helps him or her understand this clearly. And then he says, so thirdly, you can proceed from that point forward just as if the person that told you they didn't know for sure they was going to heaven. And then you can ask them, did that help you? Did that clear things up? They have gotten the gospel clearly. And then you can maybe invite them to pray and say, look, you need to get this thing settled. Would you like to know and get it settled? So he's convinced that the religious person is by far the hardest person to win. And by the way, oftentimes they are. And normally if you throw in the extra additive that that Mrs. White talked about, I'm lost, but then I got hurt at church too. Oh, that's just the end right there. Then I can listen to anything. Amen. All right. So let's pick back up in our books here. We're on page number 37 is where we left off. Now, I gave you those cards for this reason. We're talking about the area. Is that? No, not 37. I'm sorry. Page 14. Oh, okay. You know, you're right. Amen. As a matter of fact, I gave you all the way up to 14. OK, so let's backtrack a little bit so I can show you how those cards work that I gave you. The white sheet that I gave you is called the Romans Road. That just explains to you a little bit better how to use the Romans Road by giving you some things to say along with each verse. Now, the card that you have, I try to make sure that I always have a gospel track or a card on my person at all the time. Say, preacher, why? Because on the back, you can clearly give somebody the gospel with 4 points, the fact of sin, the penalty of sin, Jesus paid for sin, forgiveness of sin, just by going down the Romans road. So you can easily give someone the gospel. By the way, the gospel is simple. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. That is the message that will get people saved. But if you've got this card, notice how it goes right along with your blanks there. If you've got that card, come over to page number 8, giving a clear presentation. Understand that God loves you. He starts off with John 3:16. Once you let them know how much God loves them, by the way, there's a world of hate out there. Everybody's hating on everybody. Everybody wants to know their love. The average sinner thinks God is angry at them, is waiting to annihilate them, and is waiting to crush them at any moment because they're a sinner. Because they've heard all their life long how wicked they are and how dirty they are, and they are. But that's not what they need to hear at this point. What they need to hear from us is that God loves them and God has provided a plan for them. You know, imagine coming up to somebody and say, you know, you're wicked, low down, and no good, and God hates you. I mean, you're going to make a lot of enemies that way. Amen. But you let them know, first of all, that God loves them. Understand that God loves you. John 3:16 they give. But then number two, realize your condition. Realize your condition. And that's the fact of sin on the back of the card. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. By the way, if they say, well, you know, I haven't sinned, the perfect verse there is Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Okay, and then they give you the next verses. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that is on your card as the first thing that you can give them is the fact of sin. By the way, they need to know that they're a sinner. If they don't accept the fact that they're a sinner, they cannot be saved. Can I get an amen? Hey, what's going to separate them from heaven? Their sin. And so they've got to get their sin removed. If they don't believe they're a sinner, they can't be. What am I going to be saved from if I'm not a sinner? The wages of sin is death. I got to be saved from that, okay? So the first thing is the payment for sin. And so they've got to know that all of their work has given them a big, fat paycheck. And across that paycheck is written D-E-A-T-H. H. And underneath that is written H-E-L-L. Death and hell. And that's their paycheck that they get for being a sinner. They've got to understand that. So that's the fact of sin. Realize their condition. But then number two, the price, or number three, I should say, notice God's price for sin. What is that? That's number two, the penalty for sin. And they've got to know that there's a penalty attached to that. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And by the way, they have to understand that with this price tag on sin, the wages of sin is death, they cannot work enough. They cannot go to church enough. They cannot give enough money. What can wipe away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There's nothing that they can do. When I deliberated with Brother Dunn for 2.5 hours, I tried to come up with everything I could to justify why I should get to heaven. And each thing, he kept going, and I was getting desperate. I said, there's got to be some good thing that I've done. He said, yeah. He said, well, the only thing you've done is sinned your whole life. And that's not good. That's bad. I thought, that's not encouraging. He said, but the gift of God is eternal life. What happened? God had to break me first to let me see that I needed a savior because I was trying to get my own merit. I'm like, hey, I'm pretty good. I'm better than, you know, the next guy over here. And I've seen some people, you know. And by the way, are we better than some people by man's standards? Yes. Are we better than anybody by God's standard? No. There's none righteous, no, not one. Amen. And so come over to the next page. So they've got to do that. Number four then is they've got to believe that Christ died for their sins. Amen. And so that is the next one on there. Romans 5:8. Jesus paid for sin. Christ died for us. Amen. And so that's it. God commended love toward us. And while we are sinners, Christ died for us. And so they have got to know those basic points. The fact of sin, realizing their condition, God's price for sin, the penalty of sin. But then Christ died for their sin. Believe Christ died for you. And by the way, whose job is it to convince the person that they need to be saved? Yours or the Holy Spirit's? Holy Spirit's job. You cannot convince them that they need to be saved. If the Holy Spirit doesn't do it, it's not going to get done. If they make a mental assent because you told them to say it, they're not going to get saved. They're going to still be lost. Okay, so make sure when you get to that point where believe Christ died for you, you've got to let the Holy Spirit take over, and they've got to believe that Jesus died on the cross for their sins, that he was buried for their sins, and he rose the third day for their sin. And let them know, hey, look, he died for me too, and he died for you. And once they get to that point, you can get them to that John 3:16, for God so loved the world that whosoever, and you say, you know whosoever is? It means you. It means me. It means anybody. It means the boy down the street. It means the girl next door. It means anybody. It means the 99-year-old man. It means anyone that can comprehend. Okay? And so then Jesus gave his life on the cross, according to John 3:16, and Christ paid for it all. Amen? Romans 5:8 says again, but God commendeth his love toward us while we are sinners. Christ died for us. And so that brings you to that last point on the card, forgiveness of sin. Because by this point, they understand the fact of sin, that they are a sinner. They understand the penalty of sin. They should go to hell and pay for it. They understand that Christ died for their sin, so it's senseless for them to die for it too. Think about it. I mean, you're going to go into the store and say, somebody says, well, I paid for your groceries. Well, I want to pay for them too. Brianna, is that what you're going to do, something like that? They say, well, we pay for all your groceries. Miss Brianna comes up to, you know, $2,405. You bought a lot of groceries. And Brianna says, oh, good, thank you. I'm going to pay for them too. Joe will say, no, you ain't. Let that man pay for them goods. So it does us no good to pay for them when Jesus has already paid for them. By the way, what does it cost for us to pay for them? But what is the penalty? Death. We only got one life. So if I tried to pay for them, guess where I'm going to pay for them at? And so Christ died for it. And so the last point down there says then, forgiveness of sin, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In your book, it says, confess your faith in Christ. That's number 5 on page number 11. Confess your faith in Christ. That's the point that you're trying to get them to. By the way, when you talk about Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let them know what that word saved means. What does the word saved mean? Protected, rescued. And then let them know, what am I protected from? What am I rescued from? Hell. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus. Let them know what they're being rescued from. Say, look, if you were in the drowning in the ocean, you said, help, help, save me. What do you want to be saved from? Drowning. Or Jaws, one of the two. Amen. And so let them know that when the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. By the way, another good one. Serge always like to do this one. Except a man be what? Born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The guy I just talked to last week, I told you all about that. He said, oh, yeah, I'm doing all these good works and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. And I said, have you been born again? He said, no, I haven't been. I said, well, your good works are great, but they're not going to get you to heaven. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Amen. So let them know John 3:16 says that the gift of God is eternal life, but they've got to be born again according to John 3 and verse number 7. Amen. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. So turning your books now to page 12, leading to a decision. Again, at this point, you want to make sure that you're listening to the Holy Spirit. You're watching body language. You're watching facial expressions. You're listening for the children in the background, tugging at mama. Because if children are tugging at mama, what is mama's attention normally going to be on? Children. And at that time, you might say, you know, ma'am, can we go on? Or do you need to do this, that, or the other? Because I guarantee if them kids are pulling at mama, or if her husband's pulling, or somebody's pulling at her, it's not going to be good. I remember this one story my wife told me. She went soul winning with this partner in Belgium. And the lady was saying, well, I got to get the food cooked for my husband. He's going to be home any minute. And the person that she was with said, well, let's go on. You know, and they went on and on and on. And my husband, you know, the husband shows up. And the husband comes in. Where's my supper? Supper's not ready. Oh, just a minute. And the soul winner says, oh, just a minute, sir. And keeps going on while the wife is kind of like biting her nails. And the wife went on, I mean, the soul winner went on and went on and on. And the lady made a profession. How many think the lady really got saved? We never saw her in church. Matter of fact, I don't think she allowed us back in her house. But you know what she did? She said the words. Be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Be sensitive to the surroundings. Be sensitive. Now, Satan's going to fight tooth and nail against it. We already know that. But it's the Holy Spirit's job to bring conviction on the person. And I tell you what, the day that I got saved, there was nothing going to stop me from getting saved that day. If a person is going to get saved, they are going to get saved. The Holy Spirit is going to make sure of that. Amen. So you make sure that you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit when it comes down to getting that person to make a decision. You don't want them to do something that they regret, because if we're not attentive to the Holy Spirit's working on their heart, we could miss it. So be very careful to watch cues. Watch clues, watch their understanding. What are they saying? How are they moving? Things like that. And distractions are coming in. Amen. All right. So let's go over to D, preparing to share the gospel. Yes, sir. Amen. And Serge is right. And if it's applicable, give illustrations. Compare it to something. Just like I did with Brianna. Brianna's got going into the grocery store. Somebody's paying for her stuff. Is she going to pay twice for it? Give them an illustration. That's Jesus always taught by parables. And give them something they can line it up against and understand. Just like we talked about, what does save mean? Well, if you were in the water and you were drowning and you couldn't swim, you would say, save me. What are you being saved from? Drowning. Amen. And now, if I'm a sinner and the wages of sin is death and hell, what am I being saved from? Death and hell. And what is Jesus trying to do? Trying to save me from that. Amen. So be careful to make sure that they properly understand. I will ask a lot of questions as I go along by way of illustrations. Because, again, I want them to understand what it is they're doing, but I also want them to understand why they're doing it. I want them to know here, this is why I'm doing it, but in here I want them to believe why I'm doing it. I know that I'm a sinner. Well, I can't convince them of that, but the Holy Spirit can. I need a Savior. I can't do that, but the Spirit of God can. I'm just explaining to them what's going on. And I let them know, hey, look, once you do this, amen, it's not going to be an easy road. But you're guaranteed that hell will not be your home if you believe it with all your heart sincerely. Amen. And so with that said, let's get to the decision here where we are there. D, preparing to share the gospel. Does anybody need any of the blanks up to this point? Any of the blanks up to this point? Okay. All right. Well, let me give you a couple of things to fill in here, and then we're going to have to quit, and we'll go over this next week. Amen. This part right here that we just looked at, make sure you understand that for yourself so that you can share that with someone else. All right. Okay. Page 15 here, dealing with common questions, dealing with common questions. This area for me is a jewel of information to have in your repertoire. A, common objections. These are going to be common things. Now, we've heard this before, so a lot of this is old hat for many of you. Common objections. Number one, I have always been a Christian. You will hear that. I guarantee it. Number two on page 16, I've asked God to forgive me many times. You know who said that recently? Who? Remember y'all told me who said that, Joe? Ronquita Arkwright, sitting in my office. She said, oh, I asked Jesus to save me many times. Almost every night I asked him to save me. I said, are you saved? Guess what her answer was? Oh, no. I said, well, if you asked him to save you, don't you think one of those times he probably would have said yes? Yeah. And I proceeded to give her the gospel. Number three, this is too simple. I need to do something to earn it. That's where I was at 26 years ago. I said, if it's got to be, it's got to be simple. Can't be complex. Number four, I'm good enough. I'm not a very bad sinner. How many of y'all have ever heard that one? Amen. I'm not that bad. I never killed anyone. Number five, doesn't death end everything? And some Jehovah's Witnesses will tell you, yes, it's called annihilation. You cease to exist. That is far from true. Doesn't death end everything? 6, I don't want to give up my lifestyle or my friends. Then you will surely die and go to hell. Amen. And later on, while you're down there, your friends might actually get saved. 7, I think as long as I'm sincere in what I believe, that's all that matters. 8, and we'll fill the rest of that in next week. But we'll go through that next week and answer some of these questions. I'm sure as we go along, if you've got some common objections that people have given you, and if you would mind sharing that with us next week on how you answer them, that can go in our pocket as well. And we can kind of put that down for reference, because we will surely meet someone else like that. Pastor Wild was just telling me about his daughter being a witness at the job and some guy trying to refute what she's saying. And there's always going to be somebody to try to refute what you say. Because they don't want the conviction of this book on their life. Because this book will surely convict their life. Amen. And so if I can explain this book away, then I'm doing pretty good. And who better? They can't explain it away to God. So you know who next best to explain it away to? You. Because you're presenting it to me. So if I can talk you out of this book, guess what? Bert Dunn kept saying, the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. I couldn't get around that question, that statement, the wages of sin is death. I kept thinking, well, I am going to die, but what about this? The wages of sin is death. But what about this? The wages of sin is death. Are you prepared to die? I was like, well, I guess I'll be asking questions until I do die, and then I'm going to go to hell. This is not good for me, amen. So they can't get away from what this book says, amen. So next week we'll go into some of the objections there. But make sure that you can get the Romans Road, at least what's on the back of this card, memorized, and know where those are at in your Bible. Because you want to be able to show them in your Bible if you have the opportunity. If you don't, just give the gospel. Ms. White? Say, I'm a child of God. Well, I'm a grandchild of God. That ain't biblical. Get that junk out of here. Amen. So I bet he didn't have no comeback on that one. Well, I'm the first one. And you the last one. Amen. Well, praise the Lord, folks. I do pray that, you know, the main goal is to get us to be able to stand when we go out there taking a stand, having our feet shod, that when we get the opportunity to witness, we're not afraid to open up our mouths. We're confident. We're bold. And we know some things that we can say to give the gospel out. So don't back down. Don't bite your tongue. Give them the gospel. Give it to them lovingly, though. Don't beat them up. Amen. And encourage them. Amen. And make sure you say happy birthday to Pastor White. Amen. Brother Duffy, I'm going to let you close us out in a word of prayer. Pastor White, give us any last minute instructions. Then Brother Duffy to close us out. We won't put you to work on your birthday. Amen.